We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the fifth Rebbe of Chabad. The discourse were towards the end, and the discourse discusses the difference between two names of God, Havaye and Elohim. The name of four letters, Yudkei Vavkei, the name Elohim, and of course I'm not going to go through the whole Maimer again, through the whole discourse again, but basically the Rebbe is, again, towards the end, explaining what's the practical application of this. What do you do with this information? Throughout the whole discourse, we explained structural differences, and we explained the tzimtzum, the contraction, and what it means, and the teacher and the student, and the mashal and nimshal example, and thing being exemplified. Too many deep understanding of God, etc., etc. Okay, so what do you do with this? How do you eat it? With what? And the Rebbe is explaining exactly this. The last ideas that the Rebbe shared are the fact that a person should dedicate his life or her life, whatever, it's the same thing, men and women, to God. And don't get so worried. Don't be so worried about your sustenance and about the business and about what's going to happen with this or with that. Forget it. Everything is elokus. Everything is divinity. Even the nature you see, that's also part of God. That's also divinity. So don't get so worried. God is in charge of everything. What's the problem? And he's good. So he's both good being in charge, like he knows what he's doing, and he's good with you, like he's good with people. So don't worry so much. The only thing you have to do is learn Torah, keep your mitzvahs, your commandments, whatever commandments are, 613, 7, I don't know, the ramifications. Just do your job. Be a good person. In Yiddish, you would say, Zayin HaMensch, be a good person. That's it. That's your job. That's what you have to do. And the rest, leave in the hands of God. It's going to be fine. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom, page Nun Zayin. Bechol ze, all of these, ukeshemiyach l'shem avayi v'elokim. All of these only works, not to be worried, and etc., when you actually unify these two names of God, Avaye and Elohim. When you understand that these two things are one, and that you have to focus yourself on God, and so on. This only happens when you actually understand this, that they have explained throughout the whole Maimer, the whole discourse. What does it mean to unify this? When you really are aware that the name Elohim does not conceal at all on the name Avaye, then you can function properly and trust God and so on. All the creation comes from this name of four letters, Avaye, but it goes through this name called Elohim. וממילא ידיע שכל הממוצעים הם המלאכים, המזלס, אינם כלום מצד עצמן. Automatically, you will know that all the intermediaries, the angels and the constellations, etc., they're nothing by themselves. We can't say they're nothing because God creates them actually to be intermediaries. That's the word. That's the way God sends energy to this world. Okay, and that's the way he created it. But you have to understand that mitzad atzman, by themselves, they're nothing. God puts everything in the system, so to speak. They're just emissaries of the godly energy. And they're just like an axe in the hands of the wood chopper. וכמכן גם הדברים הגשמים הם רק כלים שבהם נסלה ושקוי החילקי. The same thing happens with every single physical thing in life, in the world. They're just a vessel for the godly strength, koyach, power, whatever, to get invested in that thing. Everything is just godliness. There's nothing else than godliness. וממילא הנה מחשב היסון לעיקר כלל. Automatically, you will not take, so to speak, consider the physical part as an important thing. It is not. The only reason why it is not in the text, but it's like an obvious thing. The only reason why the physical world is important, I stress this word, is because God created a physical world. He put us in this physical world, and therefore he told us live in this physical world. In other words, why do we need to eat? Like, who cares about food? Wait a second. God created a body and your body is hungry and you have to eat. Otherwise, you pass away. That's so simple. Or you have to drink, whatever the case is. You die. So, okay, God created me in such a way that I have to eat. I need to eat. But not because that I need, I love eating. I have such a, you know, a belly like this. Food is my life. No, food is not life. No, you're wrong. You got it wrong. The only reason why you eat is because God created you in a way that you need to eat. He created the need for the food. He created the body and the need for the food. So therefore we eat, okay? But you only eat as much as you really need. Because otherwise, why would you eat? Because I like it. That's a different story. So suddenly the world starts being something important. You forgot about God. So don't take the world, so to speak, as an important thing. It is not. Only because God said so. And then it becomes important. The only important thing is the godly life that comes to the person through the physical world. For instance, through the foot. And therefore, you should make the effort that you yourself should be a proper vessel for the godly light. You have to be the vessel. You have to take, so to speak, be aware of this godly thing behind the physical world. Because I need to eat, otherwise I'll die. So okay, but I don't eat because of the food. I eat because of the godly light within the food. Now go into business. Don't work on your business. All kinds of machinations and thoughts and what can I do to make more money and do this and do that. No. And they should not be a confusion, bring you to confusion, to problems, etc., to bother you, problems, that they should prevent you from Torah, from Tfilah, from Avoida, from working, etc. Working to God, towards God, of course. Divine service. And particularly speaking, when the truth is that if you take the physical thing by itself, the thing by itself, it's impossible that it should not prevent you from serving God. Why? It's impossible that they should. I said it the other way. It's impossible that they should prevent you from serving God because the truth is that they're not real concealments of God, as we explained longly, in a long way. The whole discourse is about this. Because all the intermediaries that at the end end up creating a physical world, they're all just a way, a channel to bring down this godly light and this godly energy and so on. How would they be an impediment to serve God? God creates them for you to serve God with that, and suddenly they're against God? It's impossible. Any physical thing in the world should not prevent you from serving God. But the only condition is you should not focus on the physical part of it. You should focus on the godly part of it. And automatically, they're not going to be something that prevents you from serving God. The only problem is your low understanding. You're tied, so to speak. You're connected to external things. So, in this case, the Rebbe is talking about two different problems, so to speak. First of all, you don't understand. Second, you really like chocolate. So, okay, what do you want from me? Where is God? Yeah, I don't know, but chocolate is good. Okay, so first of all, spend time understanding. And secondly, don't be so excited about this food, etc. It's just an example, of course. Automatically, when the person doesn't know, because he doesn't understand, he didn't spend time learning, etc. And the person is so into these physical things, you forget about God. And you consider the physical things like an important thing. And you give yourself to that completely. Then they start really getting into the way, preventing you from serving God. אבל כשאיתן דייטה וליבר אחוז השם, רק הוא לבדו הוא הניסן לך כוי אכלס ישראל, but when you put your mind and your heart into the unity of God, as we explained like throughout the whole discourse, and only to him you serve and you focus your thoughts and everything, and you're conscious that he is the one that gives you strength to have everything that you have, וכל הממוצעים הם רק של ידם עובר השפע. And all the intermediaries is that the energy, godly energy comes through them, but they're not really something important. אבל העיקר ולכוס, the main thing is godliness, etc. אז, and then, לא יהיה לו שום מיני ומעקב כלל מבייס מחוץ. There is going to be nothing that stops you. Nothing internal, מבייס means from inside of you, or מחוץ, from outside of you. Nothing is going to stop you from serving God. But you have to have the proper frame of mind. And you will be tied, you will be, I don't know, together only with godliness. Parenthesis. And your involvement in business is going to be only with your external power of will. I'll explain this in a minute. Only because your sustenance has to go through doing something. I can't sit here and wait for dollars to fly and to go into my pocket. It's not going to happen. You have to go do something. Okay, so God created the system in a way that you have to go and do something. But don't think that the something is the source of your sustenance. God is the source of your sustenance, but he has to go through something. As we explained already, in the explanation of this verse, God is going to bless you in everything that you do. So you have to do something. And automatically your business is going to be as proper, as it has to be. And your attachment is going to be in godliness only. Etc. And he closes the parenthesis. What does it mean, chitzoin yisaratzen? Very quickly, because it's a simple concept. You have pnimius haratzen and chitzonius haratzen. Pnimius means internal will. Chitzonius means external will. What's the difference? The difference is, what's the main thing, the main real reason why you do things? For instance, a normal person, wants to live. I want to be alive. Therefore, I have to eat, because otherwise I die. So I want to eat. Do you really want to eat? No, I want to be alive. But I have to eat to be alive. Okay, so I want to eat. I have to have food. Where do you get food from? You go buy food. Okay, if I go to the supermarket without money, they're not going to give me food, so I need money. So I want money. Do you really want money? No. I want food. Do you really want food? No. I want to be alive. But to be alive, I need food. And then I need money to go buy food. So I want to work. Because somebody told me that when you work, you get money. So I want to work. Do you really want to work? No, I want money. You really want money? No, I want food. And so on. That's called chitzoin yisaratzen. The things that you don't really want them because of themselves. You just want them because they're taking you to something else. Money gives you food, and food gives you life. Oh, I want life. That's what I really want. That's pnim yisaratzen. The innermost will. So the Rebbe said in the parentheses, when you have to go work. That's okay. That's fine. To the point that it's a mitzvah. To go work 6 days, whatever. Okay, we're going to do that, but we're only going to involve chitzoin yisaratzen. That's not going to be the main thing in life. That's only going to be an intermediary to get something else. Sustenance for your house, for you to go learn Torah. And then, when you have the proper frame of mind, you will be complete with God, with his Torah, and with his service, etc. אבל כשמפריד חס ושלום בין הוואי ואלוקים, but, on the other hand, when you make a separation, you don't unify הוואי ואלוקים, these two names of God, What does that mean? You consider that this name Elohim conceals, really, God forbid, Al Shem Havaye, on this other name, and everything that happens in the world, that comes from this Shem Elohim. It doesn't come from Havaye through Shem Elohim. No, it comes from Shem Elohim. Nature is Mother Nature. And you have to be and function within Mother Nature, because otherwise you're dead. You don't have the proper frame of mind. You're actually separating between Havaye v'Elohim. Umimeila automatically, Yachshev samim mutzaim le'ikar. You will think that the intermediaries are the main thing. Who gives you food? The angel. Well, pray to the angel, because the food comes from the angel. Like you open the faucet and water comes out. Whoa, the faucet gives me water. I'll pray to the faucet to give me water. Nah, it doesn't come from this. Okay, but that's what the person is thinking in this particular part of the Maimar, of this course. Shemehem ba makar ashpas chayu. So you consider that from them, from the intermediaries, comes the source of all your livelihood. Zehu shekosov, that's what it's written. Ozav Hashem es ha'aretz. God left the earth. Sheoimrim sheyashem, the idolaters in ancient times, they used to say, Sheoimrim sheyashefa lemata nimshecha me'mazalis. The energy down here comes from, gets projected from the constellations. Shema mashpiim bekoyach atzmam. They give out of their own power. They choose to give you or not to give you. So pray to me and I'll give you. Verehu mechashev v'yisam ledavar ma. And this guy considers them something important by themselves. Me'achar shem mashpiim amashpiim lechayus, because they're giving him his livelihood. Automatically, what comes out of considering the intermediary something important in themselves is you start considering the physical world important in itself, and you involve yourself, you really get into that, with all your strength, food and drink and whatever, with all your might, to have more money. So you start cheating and you start whatever, because that's the way you do business, good business. You make money quickly because you cheated, and you start working on Shabbos, and do this and that, because that's the way to make more money. That's the only important thing. This is what it means, idolatry, actually. A person serves these stars and the constellations, umishtachav elahem, and he prosternates himself to them, mipnei shemechashev v'yisam ledavar ma, because he considers them to be something important, she'em amashpim loichur, that they give him, etc. And with this we're going to understand something that our sages say that is kind of weird, but now we're going to understand it better. Our sages say the following phrase: Israel shebechutz al ha'aretz, the Jews that live outside of the land of Israel, ovdei avodah zarah betaharahen, they are idolaters in purity. Like they're pure, but they're idolaters. What does that mean? Pure idolatry? Idolatry is impure. What are you talking about? L'chayra ina muvan. Apparently, I don't understand, and the Rebbe lived in Russia, whatever. So what are you calling me an idolater? Isn't it true that most of the Jewish people are outside of Eretz Israel, of the land of Israel? Today, like, things are changing already. But in these times, 1897, most of the Jews lived outside of Eretz Israel. How are you going to say that most of the Jewish people are idolaters? God forbid. You can't say such a thing. I'll explain to you. The thing is like this. Just as the idea of idolatry, physically speaking, is that the person brings down the head, puts down the head, and prosternates to constellations like the sun or the moon or whatever, because he considers them to be important, that from them comes his livelihood. As the Torah says, from the sweetness of the produce of the sun, That means that when the sun shines on the product in the field, it becomes like bigger and nicer, quote unquote, sweeter, whatever. When we make it Gerish Yirachim, or when the moon, the light of the moon, etc., that brings better produce in the field, etc. Shen Memutzaim, they are just intermediaries. You should know they're just like, as we mentioned many times, like the axe in the hands of the wood chopper. And he considers them to be important, something in themselves. As if they would give livelihood by them, their own strength, God forbid. The same thing happens with idolatry, spiritually speaking. When a person considers important the physical things, that they get energy from the sun and the moon and the rest of the constellations, and the person considers that they are the source of his sustenance, just as a person prosternating, physically speaking, is putting down the head, the same thing happens spiritually speaking. A person puts down his intellect to the things that get sustenance from the stars and constellations, etc. What does that mean? I know. When a person puts his mind and his heart in the things, physical things, and gets so worried about sustenance, and he makes all kinds of weird thoughts and tries this and that, etc., in his work of business, and he thinks he's going to earn money this way. And he forgets completely about God. That he is the one, God, is the one that gives you strength to have money, etc. You forget completely about that. In other words, I'll go back to the Maimon in a second, but the same exact thing happens with many kinds of things. The Rebbe over here is talking about business, which is one of the most common. But today, you know, soccer, football, whatever, people know which is the best player on the end and that, and how many goals he put, and how many... Do you know anything about Torah? I don't know anything about Torah, but I can tell you how was the team and this and that. Okay, you're putting your head and your heart into stupid things. That's avodah zarah. That's idolatry. You're putting down your head on something stupid. And if the team won, you're so happy. And if they lost, today they lost. I don't know why. That defines your emotional state? And that doesn't even depend on you, because it's just 22 guys running over there, doing something with a ball, etc. And that defines the way you go back home and you talk to your wife. No, today I'm sad, they lost, they don't know. That's avodah zarah. That's what the Rebbe is saying, just in different words. Ve'im yafsid chas v'shalem, lo yizkor es Hashem she'asa lo ikach mipnei ma'aseiv she'gorbu. The Rebbe goes a step further. And if you are in the business, again, the Rebbe is talking about business. If you lost, God forbid, you made a whole thing and you started this and that and you tried and you invested so much and you lost, you're not going to remember God that he did this to you because of your bad deeds. You deserve this. What do you want? You never think about me, says God. And now you want to make money? Here you go. He's going to think, because I made this and that mistake, then therefore I lost the business. I should have bought this thing or that thing, etc. If I changed such and such thing, I would have earned money, etc. Then this guy is considering the business, physical things, the main thing. Physical business, the main thing. And he puts his mind into that. What should I do? How to do this? And all kinds of thoughts, etc. Day and night, this guy doesn't stop thinking about the business. He can't stop thinking about it. And it bothers him, confounds him in the moment of tefillah, of davening. And it prevents him from learning Torah, from working towards God, serving God, etc., etc. It's impossible. The guy is thinking about the business. He has the Sidur, the prayer book in front of him, and he's thinking, well, I should have bought this, and maybe I should buy that, and then change this. This is exactly idolatry, just like physical idolatry. That's what our sages meant. The Jews outside of the land of Israel, they are idolaters, but with purity. What does that mean? I know. Al ribuya eisig masumata umbetach bulis shoinois, because many of them, they do lots of business and they think so much about it and they can't stop with that, etc., etc. She actually koichoi ve'otzem yada yasaloi esachai lechule. And the guy thinks that his power, his intelligence, brought him to such a position, such a place. Ve'shechiach alelokus chule. And he forgets completely about God. U'mikol makom nikdai ve'davodazra betahara. However, he's still called an idolater, but with purity. What does that mean? Yeshlimut chuz aleihem. Mashem chuz alaretz. We can say something good about them. They're outside of Eretz Israel. That's their, so to speak, their quote-unquote merit. Okay. So don't think about them so badly. Because, okay, they're outside of Eretz Israel. What does that mean? Why? Because outside of the land of Israel, the godly light comes down into the world through a garment that is called the garment of the world of Asiya. I'm not going to explain the whole thing because it's really not important. But the Rebbe says, enough to explain, Asiya means deed. It's different worlds in Kabbalah. I don't know, Atzilus, Bri, Atzilus, Asiya, it doesn't really matter. The point is, this is the lowest one, which is a very coarse garment. So the light comes into this world, but through a very coarse garment. And this garment conceals to the point, hides and conceals to the point that you don't see the spirituality of this light. But okay, so it's not his fault, but nevertheless, he's still called an idolater. Because the truth is, you have to know. And the word know over here should be like stressed. You have to know that the truth is that nothing conceals in front of God. This is the whole beginning of the Maimon. Elohim doesn't conceal on Navaye, and so on. But actually, the problem is, the Rebbe says it between parentheses, that through this coarse garment of the world of Asiya, action, whatever that means, the lowest one, the light becomes like physical, misgashem, from the word gashmius, becomes like physical things, to the point that you can't see, and it's not revealed, the spirituality of this light. But the truth is, that even the most coarse garments don't really conceal. Adraba. On the contrary, they bring this light into this physical world. But it's seen, this livelihood is seen as a gashmik, as a physical thing. Okay. We close parenthesis. And you have to learn, to feel. I added the word learn, but that's what it's talking about. You have to learn to feel godliness, even in your work, in physical things, etc. As we explained. The reason why the person puts down the head to things that get sustenance from the constellations, etc. The reasons for this is because the person is separating Shem Elohim, the name Elohim, from the name Avayah. שחושב שמאסתי במשחק שלנו. In other words, he thinks that the Shem Elokim actually conceals on the Shem Havai. וממילא חושב שהממוצעים ששור שם משם אלוקים על ידם מיסה וכל דבר ופועל, and automatically this guy thinks that all the intermediaries which source is from Shem Elokim, through these intermediaries they actually create things. They are the source, the real source, and so on. This is what the guy thinks. The frame of mind is wrong. That's why he considers them something important. The Rebbe is like closing the idea. And he prosternates himself to that, etc. Okay, makenu mechashev zatvanim ad nishpayim ve'oisei sam le'ikar. ומרקין רוי שבשיח לו להם. And also he considers the things that get life from these constellations, etc. He considers them important. He makes them to be the main thing in his life. And he puts down the head and his intellect to those things. This is the whole idea of the expression of our sages, idolater in purity, with purity. אבל כשמייחד הווי ולקין, but on the other hand, let's go back to the right frame of mind. When a person unifies these two names, הווי ולקין, שיודע שהאמס כנל, the person knows the truth. As explained, the השם אלקין מנעימסתי על שם הווי, כי אם עד רבו מביסגילו זה שם הווי למטו מטו חולה כנל בעירך, that the name אלקין does not conceal on the name הווי. Rather, on the contrary, brings down the revelation of שם הווי down here, as explained with a lot of details and so on. וממילא כל הממוצעים יודע היטב. And automatically, the guy knows, I stress this word, knows. It's not stressed over here, but that's what it's talking about. That's the main point. That's why the whole discourse, when you go to page number one, how does it start? וידעת היום, you should know. So knowledge is the point over here. What makes your mind change? What makes you have the proper frame of mind to know? And this is, the truth is, this is not something Hasidic, like a novelty. Wow, the Rebbe told me something. Wow, I'm amazed. Wait a second, the world functions like this. When you have the proper information, you can take the proper decisions. If you don't have information, you can't make decisions. And this happens in all things on the world. I need a new phone. Okay, I need information. Which memory and which CPU and whatever the phone makes for my necessities, whatever, they need the proper information. If you don't have the proper information, you end up spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a huge, amazing phone. You don't really need it. You don't need it. Because none of the functions that the phone has, you will actually use. Yeah, but it's amazing. You don't need it. If you had the proper information, you would have spent less money and have a phone that you really works for what you need. This is what he's saying. It's just the knowledge. וממילא כל הממוצעים, again, יודעה, automatically, when a person has a proper frame of mind, all the intermediaries, a person knows, היטב, you really know, שהם רק כגרזים יד החוצר. They're just like the axe in the hands of the woodchopper. רק להביא את השפע ולקי, their only mission is to bring down the godly energy, etc. And automatically he does not consider them at all like something important. Okay, the same way he does not consider the physical things as something important at all. The main thing is the godliness. Because godliness is your life. It's a famous verse. He is the one that gives you strength to have whatever you have. ולכן גם בעסקו מסומתו מדבר הגשמי הרי הוא דבוק בלוקוס. Therefore, when a person has the proper frame of mind, even when he's working in his business with physical things, he is attached to godliness. ליאויס זויר במצווה סאסי, מצווה לא יסאסי, to be careful, what does it mean to be attached to God? To be careful with the positive commandments, the negative commandments, לספלל כדבוי, he prays properly, לעסק בתוירה, כל אחד אחד ואחד לפי ערכוי, to learn תוירה, each one according to his level, ושלם יהיה בהשם ותוירו, ועבודה סיסבר החול. And he will be complete with God and his תוירה, etc. Now the Rebbe is going to like finish the whole thing. ועל פי הנ"ל יובן, מה שכוס בדרך הפלגה, מנסה לנו שם. And now, according to all of these things that we explained, we will understand in the whole story of the Tower of Babel, Babylon, whatever, we will understand why the way we explained this before in a previous class, that the way it's known, this generation in the Torah is Dor Aflaga, the Dor of separation, because that's actually what they wanted to do, to separate Shem Elokim from Shem Havayah. That's the whole point, as explained before. But the point is that the Torah, the only thing that the Torah says, so to speak, something that they did wrong, is Naseh Lanu Shem. Let's make a name for us. That's the only thing we find that they did, so to speak. What's the problem? What did they want? Amru Razal, our sages explain, what is this thing of making for ourselves a name? Ein Shem El Avodah Zarah. This name that they wanted was idolatry. That's what they wanted. Sheze Ayachet Dor Aflaga, this was, as explained before, the sin of this generation of separation. They separated these two names, Elohim and Havayah. And automatically they thought, they considered the intermediaries as a main thing, and this is idolatry, as explained. Now, when the Jewish people were in, or whatever, Jewish, Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, whatever you want to call them, doesn't really make a difference. I know people want to make, you know, Jewish is only after this, stupid things. Whatever, the Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, the Jewish people were in slavery in Egypt, they repaired the sin of this generation. We mentioned before that in Kabbalah states that the Jewish people in Egypt were Gilgulim, reincarnations of the people of the Dor Aflaga, of this generation of separation. And they fixed this sin. וזהו עניין שעובדו, I'm sorry, עבוד הספרך וחומר ולבנים. That's why the Torah says, regarding the Jews in Egypt, that they worked hard work. And how was this hard work? Bechoymer. Choymer means the material with which you make bricks. Uvilevainim. And with bricks. That's what they did. Lesaken esachet. To fix the sin. That when you go back to the text of the Torah regarding the Tower of Babel, etc. Vayehi lehem alevein aleoven. In the Tower of Babel, they didn't have stones, so they made bricks. Oh, so you see? Bricks by the Jews in Egypt. Bricks by the generation of Babel, etc., the Tower of Babel. So one fixed the other. The bricks of Egypt ended up fixing the bricks of the Tower of Babel. As it's written somewhere else, like go learn that parsha. I'm not going to go into that now. And through the slavery in Egypt, they saw when they left Egypt how actually these two names are one thing. Avayev Elokim kul achad is one thing. Behainu, that means ha'oises v'moitzim v'mitzrayim v'asar ha'makois in kriyas yamzu. What did they see? They saw the miracles and the signs, whatever, miracles in Egypt, in the 10 plagues, and the opening of the sea, etc. Shenizgal elamata gilu yoises v'moitzim yetzim midarki ha'teva. They saw, revealed down here, a revelation of signs and miracles that go beyond the ways of nature. They saw a revelation of godliness that transcends nature, really. That's what they saw. And if, how did that help them to see these miracles? Because if the name Elohim would really conceal, God forbid, על שם הוויה, on this other name, איך יגילו למעלה מן הטבע למטה? How can you see down here something that transcends nature? That means, if you actually see a miracle, it means that שם אלוקים does not conceal, really, on שם הוויה. וזהו שאמרו רזל, this is what our sages say in the Gemara, על אמר להו, אהו מינה להמימר, there was an heretic guy, and he told המימר, which is the name of a sage, מפלגחו לאלה דהורמיס, מפלגחו לתתוה דהורמין. There are two gods. From the middle up belongs to one god. The middle of your body down belongs to another god. That's what this guy was saying, a Meimar. Ein Toises Sham, look at the commentary of Toises, we're not going to see this now. So the Rebbe explains, he wanted to say there are two gods, there are two domains in life. Is exactly the same thing that God left the earth in the hands of the constellations. They were saying basically the same thing. God is on the heavens, and down here you can do whatever you want because anyway God is on the heavens. But down here, this guy was telling the sage Ameimar, down here the source of sustenance comes from the constellations. They conceal completely godliness. This is what this person was actually, this strange understanding of this heretic. Omar Lei, so Ameimar answered this guy, Yahi, if this is so, if there are actually two domains, two gods or whatever, Shabik Hurmin Lehurmis. How does Hurmin, which is the lower god, so to speak, allow Hurmis, which is the upper god, to actually bring rain from the heavens to the earth? Hey, wait a second, they should fight. And rain should not fall because rain belongs to the heavens and the earth, no, it doesn't work. Behainu, that means, this is what Ameimer answered this guy. According to these strange ideas of these guys that were arguing with Ameimar, that the intermediaries actually conceal, truly conceal, etc. How is there godly revelation in the world? So Ameimar was not talking about rain necessarily. He was talking about the meaning of rain. That means the revelation of godliness down here. We see miracles. There shouldn't be any miracles. This is what Ameimar was telling this guy. And in the going out of Egypt, they saw clearly the revelation of godliness down here, in this world. If this is so, the Jewish people in the coming out of Egypt, they saw clearly how this name, Elohim, does not conceal at all Shem Havayi. And these two names are just one thing, like the Zohar says, literally, says the Rebbe. Now he's going to answer a question that we made in class number one. In the beginning of the Maimer, the Rebbe asked, why was this verse, V'yadata yem, you should know today, and you will put in your heart, etc., related to going inside the land of Israel? What's the relationship? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu chose to say this verse right before the Jewish people were entering the Eretz Israel? What's the connection? Why not before? Why not after? Whatever. What's the connection? So the Rebbe is answering this now. Just as we saw miracles going out of Egypt, and the miracles, what they mean in this case, this is what the Rebbe is explaining now, what they mean is that there's no true concealment of Elokus, of godliness in the world. The concealment is just because God wants the physical world, but whatever he wants, he just shows himself, so to speak. And the fact that God shows himself through miracles, that means that there's no true concealment. If there were a true concealment of his godliness, whatever, it would be impossible to have miracles. Impossible. Out of the definition of this world. So again, the same thing, same thing happened when the Jewish people were going into the land of Israel. They saw very strongly, very clearly, this unification of these two names. Why? We explained before that the Jewish people outside of the land of Israel, they are like idolaters with purity. This is what our sages said. This applies exactly outside of the land of Israel. Because in outside of Eretz Israel, outside of the land of Israel, the godly energy comes down into this world through the garments of this world, whatever, called Asiya, this level called Asiya, action, whatever that means. Shen mastirin me'oid, they're very coarse, that's what the Rebbe said before, and they conceal a lot. That's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Aval be'Eretz Yisrael, but inside the land of Israel, nimsheches ha'ashpa al yidei levusha yitzira. The energy, the godly energy to this world, comes in the land of Israel through a different garment. The garment of a higher world, so to speak, higher level, which is called as yetzira. Yetzira means literally formation. That's what it means. Whatever that means, but a higher level of godliness. Velachen, therefore, like something not so coarse, a little bit more refined. Velachen, in this case, coarse and refined would be a very simple example. It's like a glass. Yeah, you can have a transparent glass and lets the light go through, or you have a whatever dark glass and doesn't let the light go through. So this world, Asiya, whatever that means, is like a dark glass. So the godly light is not seen down here. But at Yetzira, formation, it's a, like a more transparent glass. So lets the godly light come down and get revealed. Velachin heina ester gadol sham kol kach. That's why in the land of Israel, there's not such a strong concealment. Ulezois, therefore, nigle sham yoyserech tevai velekim kulochat. You can see clearly over there, just by being there, that the godliness, the avaye and lakim, they are one thing, etc. Behine, now, yadua de keshem shi yesh eretz yisrael begashmius, kemakin yesh eretz yisrael beruchnius. This is so beautiful. It's known that just as there is the land of Israel, physically speaking, like thousands of miles, whatever you are, the land of Israel, there, in Asia, whatever, the same thing happens spiritually speaking. There is a state a person could be that is called, you are in Eretz Israel. There's a state. Parenthesis, it's not in the Maimer, but I think I have to say this. There's a story by the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe Chad, which was the father, the grandfather of this Rebbe. The story is, there was a Chosid, we're talking about year 1840s, 1830, those years. There was a Chosid that he wanted to go to Eretz Israel. They lived in Lubavitch, in Russia, whatever. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe never gave him the bracha, the blessing to go. So the Chosid can't leave if the Rebbe doesn't give you the blessing to go. And he insisted, and the Rebbe never gave him the blessing, up to the point that one day the Rebbe told him in Yiddish, Mach do Eretz Yisrael. You have to do here, where you are, the land of Israel. Wherever you are in the land of Israel, if you want, of course. You have to be in the land of Israel wherever you are. What is it? What is he talking about? I'm in Argentina. I'm not in the land of Israel. So the idea is exactly what the Rebbe is saying over here. There's a state where you can live in the land of Israel, spiritually speaking. I know. What does that mean? Ma'aseh mitzvos. When you actually fulfill the will of God, you are in the land of Israel right now. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm in Argentina. Yeah, okay. Spiritually speaking, you are in the land of Israel right now. That's what it means. The Eretz, what's the connection? The word Eretz, which means land, Hulashon Ratzon, is connected to the word will, Ratzon. K'may Marazal, like our sages say, Lama Nikra Shema Eretz, why is the land of Israel called land, the land, Eretz? She Ratzis Al Asar Zertzon Koina. Because she, whatever, the land of Israel, went running to do the will, Ratzon, of its creator. Ube avoida, in the service to God, in our service to God, hu inyan kiyum ha-mitzvos ve-kabbalas ha-seil. This represents fulfilling the commandments with acceptance of the yoke of heaven. Ol malchus shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. Shehu la'aseh Ratzon Koina. That's what it means to do the will of God. But just as the land of Israel is called land because it run, whatever the case is, to fulfill the will of God, in the same thing happens to each person. If you actually feel run to fulfill the will of God, you live in the land of Israel, spiritually speaking. Furthermore, says the Rebbe, when you fulfill the commandments with acceptance of the yoke of heaven, then you're going to reach the knowledge that Avayev Elokim Kulachat. Just as in the land of Israel, physically speaking, there's a higher revelation of godliness, because it comes, the light of God comes to the land of Israel through a less coarse garment that outside of the land of Israel. The same thing is going to happen to you if you live, spiritually speaking, in the land of Israel, then you're going to reach a knowledge, a higher knowledge. וזהו שהקדים סיפור עניין יציאת מצרים וכניסת הארץ לפסוק ידעת הים. Now he's answering the first lines of the discourse. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, started talking about coming out of Egypt, and then he spoke about going inside the land of Israel, and then he said, oh, now you will know that God, etc. Oh, because everything is related. שעל ידי יציאת מצרים וכניסת הארץ, through going out of Egypt, the miracles that they saw, and Knesset Haaretz, and going into the land of Israel, that means the godliness that is revealed over there, Baim le'ayediyah de'vayulakim, you can reach this knowledge that God is the Lord and everything is the same, Ve'ayinu, that means le'yached avayivelakim, to unify these two names, eich she'avayivelakim kulachad ma'amesh chule, how, to know how actually these two names are really only one thing, really, ma'amesh means like really, it's only one thing.